All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom. I'm here with Lotus as usual, and today we are going over the constellations, or what you might recognize as the birth signs, and what exactly is going on with them. We've been talking about stars recently with like the Magna Gi and Magnus, and so we thought this would be a fun connection. We're going to draw this connection through to all these different astral bodies and things and get through a bunch of them. And we've got some crazy theories to talk about coming up, but first we have to set the ground work before we get to an episode where we talk about the crazy theories, where we can actually talk about the constellations and what's going on with them, and especially the 13th one, the serpent, which is super weird, which we'll get to at the end, and that's going to lead into future episodes. But before we do that, welcome back to the show. Lotus, how's it going? Welcome back.
Things are good. A little chaotic. I was talking about it in chat. It's definitely looking a lot like Skyrim here, with the snowfall and such. But, okay. You know, making do with the situation. We were talking about this topic earlier, and this is one of the weirder but also grounded ones. So it's not too bizarre, but it's pretty neat. And I like the way that we, you know, have kind of a unique way of, we'll get into it, but like skills tied to stars and stuff like that. I find it's a very creative way that makes the skill trees in these games look very unique, and it's one of my favorite things aesthetically.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's, the basic idea here is basically like astronomy and our astrology, not astronomy, that's actually yes. The study of stars. Astrology, which is like there's a certain sign in the sky when you're born, and then you have certain characteristics in your personality or whatever. And so they extrapolated that into Elder Scrolls, and it shows up in different ways in different games. Like in the older games, you would have a sign when you were born, but like by Skyrim, it has to do with your level up stuff.
And what skills belong in which trees, and then, you know, what you're focusing on as a skill style, which then governs the attribute, either magicka, health, or stamina related to it. So it's definitely, much like most things as we've talked about in the series, has iterated over time and become what we know it now, wasn't necessarily how it started.
Right, and our discussion last week about Oblivion, maybe we'll go back to having a different sign for each character build you make and that kind of thing. So we might see that reemerge. And in ESO, it's different as well. You've got like your three major ones, but we'll get into that. So what exactly are the constellations? Well, constellations are stars. They're groups of stars in the sky. There are 12 regular ones, and they show up in kind of a pattern. And you've got the pattern of stars over here, another pattern of stars over here, another one over here. And over time, the sun, or Magnus, if Magnus is whole, is the sun, or if Magnus is the sun, or, and there's some other theories about like other weirdness with the sun, but over time, the sun moves between each of these signs. And if you're born with the sun in that sign or during that month, then you have certain qualities. So we're going to go over that. And all of this actually boils down into three main guardian constellations. So you have, of course, the mage, the thief, and the warrior, the three main ones. And then each of those have their charges, these like lesser stars. According to the Reach Folk, this is kind of a Reach Folk thing. They've got these like subsets, but everybody kind of seems to have their own interpretations of this. In fact, the constellations seem to be fairly universal. A bunch of different cultures, the Altmer, the Yakudans, Druids, Aeliads, Chimer, the Dwemer, lots of different cultures. The Khajiit all reference the constellations in some way in their own specific personal beliefs. And they're slightly different, but overall, they kind of have the same basic, meaning or influence in their lives, that sort of thing.
Right. And it, from a gameplay perspective, the same governing attribute is kind of the idea to it. The parts make up the whole, so to speak.
Right, right. All right, so let's get into each of them. We're going to start. I've got a little images ready to go up on the screen. The first one we're starting with, it's just popped up. Look, it's the mage. We're going to go over the three main ones, and then we're going to go through everything else kind of alphabetically, hit the serpent last. But the mage, and we're pulling these synopsises off the UESP, Friends of the Show, the best Elder Scrolls site you can go to for all the lore and all the fun stuff if you want to dig into it.
So
if you
want to stop wiki.
If you want to read along, you can look on that site. But it says here, the mage, also known as the wizard, the sage, the mechanist to the Dwemer, and the witch in the stars, or simply the witch to the Reachman, is a constellation of 27 stars and the planet Julianos, which is in the night sky during the month of Rain's Hand. So this isn't just stars. There's a planet that is among this organization, constellation. And those born under the sign of the mage are thought to have more magicka and the talent for spellcasting. They're also thought to be arrogant and absent-minded.
I love how there's a pro and a con. Like,
yeah. Here, I'm going to move the little image up here on the top left so it's not covering anyone's face. So what do you think about Julianos being a part of this constellation?
So again, it makes sense when you think about it. The way these are going to be broken up is things relate more toward the magicka sense and like scholarly works. Well, it immediately is going to tie into like, okay, the connection to Julianos is there. This stronger connection to magic is there. You're going to have, for lack of a better way of putting it, all your wizardy stuff. and right. In the series, I mean, they teach magic at schools, like there are colleges, like you have this connecting feature of academics equal a tie to magicka in the series, and that kind of ties exactly into what we're going to be dealing with in regards to this, specifically the mage, and as well as the other blue constellation attributes and
the different mage like sub constellations, the lesser
sub-constellations. Ones. Right. And again, the color relates to what you'll see in the series. Magicka tends to be blue, with the exception of Battle Spire. For some reason, it's yellow, but we don't, it's fine. But mostly, when you think of magicka in the series, it's your blue bar or whatever.
Right.
The governing attribute is kind of like blue tinted in this, so it's like that's another mage tie-in, I guess, is magic is blue.
Yeah, but so the constellations seem to be implying that the holes in the sky, the holes in Oblivion that go to Aetherius, that were left there by the Magna Gi and Magnus, that something about this region of the sky has more to do with magicka, and maybe those holes have more to do with influencing that in some way as opposed to other holes in the sky. So it's like this part of the sky is radiating more of that quality as opposed to some of the other ones. Also,
Julianos, which is a little interesting because you're thinking magicka in general is coming through these holes. Right. So this one's what more folk, like,
or is it magicka
brighter here?
Right. Is it magicka that's, or maybe magicka is influencing all of the spectrum of these things, and this is just maybe like the magicka side of the spectrum,
the magicka focused hole in the sky.
Right. Right. But it also is also interesting that Julianos is in this section because it's a planet. And so it would make sense that, you know, if you were Julianos and you wanted to be more magic focused, then wouldn't you put your planet, if you could choose to where to put your planet, you would put your planet closer to these stars.
Right.
So that seems kind of interesting to me. So,
yeah.
So, okay. So like hold that in your head because maybe that has something to do with something. But again, we're not really sure about that side of things. This is all speculation. But let's move on to some things we are sure about. Let's move to the thief. So next up, we have the thief. The thief, known as the hunter to the Reachman, is a constellation of 18 or 17 stars, and the planet Arche, which is in the night sky during Evenstar. It is the guardian constellation for the Lover, the Shadow, and the Tower. I didn't mention the mage is guardian of, let's go back and do that real quick, the Apprentice, the Atronach, and the Ritual. I should have noted.
Sure, before. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, that's a good point. We should mention the sub-constellations. In the older games, again, this is sort of not relevant to people who have adopted the series with Skyrim going forward. Prior to Skyrim, a lot of your attributes on character creation tied into this. So like, I haven't played in a while, so I could be getting this wrong. People can feel free to roast me if I get this one wrong in the comments. But like, if I remember correctly, in Morrowind, at the Atronach, you had a larger magicka pool, and you could, there was a percent chance to absorb magicka to refill it, but you didn't naturally refill magicka. Like, it wasn't just like a thing that refilled. I think that was the Atronach. Whereas going forward in the games, it's like, well, that's not a thing in Skyrim, right. For example. Right. And like, yeah, it's changed, and each one of them kind of had a governing feature that you could attach to your character, both usually good and bad. It wasn't usually just raw perks.
Right. So the hunter is also the guardian over the lover, the shadow, and the tower. Those born under the sign of the thief are thought to take risks and evade harm. Their luck is thought to run out eventually, cutting their lives short. So maybe there's something about the magicka around the birth of these characters leading more towards these types of lifestyles, or maybe it influences the way your brain works or something like that. Don't really know. But then we've got the warrior. So let's move over to the warrior. The warrior, known as the headsman to the Reachmen, is a constellation of 30 or 28 stars. Now, these numbers vary depending on, like Lotus has mentioned, things have changed throughout the series. So
sure.
This information isn't just hard and fast.
And with stars and constellations, I mean, it could always be like, we've got the different cultures, and I love how the different cultures do the same, like a lot of times pray to the same gods and stuff like that, but they have their own take on them.
Right.
It's kind of interesting to think, it's like, well, I didn't count that as part of this constellation in this culture, perhaps. Like, is that one part of his belt or not? Like,
right.
maybe one culture thinks it is, the other isn't.
Yeah, so. That's the same thing on, you know, in reality, in our world. Different cultures have different names for constellations, and they include different sets of stars. Right. So, whereas, like, every culture in the Northern Hemisphere can identify Orion's belt, is what we call it in the West. They have different names for it, but it might be part of a different major structure than what ours is. So, yeah, that also makes sense. So This goes on. It says it has 30 or 28 stars and the planet Akatosh, which is in the night sky during Last Seed. It is one of the guardian constellations, and its charges are the Lady, the Steed, and the Lord. Those born under the sign of the warrior are thought to be short-tempered and skilled with weapons. It's interesting that Akatosh is a part of this one.
Yeah. I also like how that if you're good at martial arts, you by default have a short temper.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I guess that's how that works. I wonder why Akatosh. It kind of makes the warrior seem like it's predominant among even those three. Because those three are Julianos, Arkay, and Akatosh. And Akatosh seems to be the primary one compared to the other two.
Sure.
Is the warrior, does the warrior take
precedent over
the thief and the mage? Or is that
I don't know. And I would almost make the joke of like, well, maybe it's because I personally always like, you know, smashing things up close in game, but I was going to make the joke of like, oh, well, you know, maybe it's because that tends to be the strongest thing, but more often than not, it's actually a sneaky archer. So that would not be the case, ironically.
It'd be a thief build. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe not true. It seems actually quite the opposite.
Maybe not true. All right. So let's get to some of the other constellations. These are the lesser ones. And so let's move on over to The Apprentice, and not the TV show with that terrible. No, we won't go into that. The Apprentice, known as the Automaton to the Dwemer. I love when there's a Dwemer name for these.
Yes.
Automaton is a constellation of 11 stars, which is in the night sky during Sun's Height. And if those names aren't familiar, those are the names for months in the game.
Yes.
So Sun's Height is a specific month that roughly correlates with, I don't even remember, in the middle of summer somewhere, I'm sure, probably like June.
Yeah, I feel like it might be June or July off the top of my head. Hold on.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can carry on, though.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't have them all just in my head. Yeah. Yeah. It is one of the mage's charges. Those born under the sign of the apprentice are thought to have an affinity for magic, but also a vulnerability to magic. So this one, no planet assigned to this one, but it is part of the mage. So did you find it? Did you figure it out?
I was going to say, so it was Sunset we were talking about. It's July.
Sun's height. July. There you go. Yeah. That makes sense.
We had it right. We just didn't have the correct one.
We had it right. Sort of. Let's move on to the next one.
We had the season right. The only one I need to know is my own birthday. That's fine.
I don't even remember our own months. how many months are there in the year? Why is October the 10th month, but Oct means 8? December is the 12th, but it means Dec is 10.
Yeah, I know. Because we're bad at things.
The Romans messed it all up. Anyway,
yes.
Let's talk about the Atronach. The Atronach, sometimes the Golem, known as the War Machine to the Dwemer, is a constellation of 10 stars, which is in the night sky during sun's dusk. It is one of the mage's charges. Those born under the sign of the Atronach are thought to be natural sorcerers with deep reserves of magicka, but that cannot generate their own magicka. So interesting. It's different variations of mage builds, roughly.
Right.
Kind of the inspiration.
Yeah,
for it.
It definitely gave a little bit more of a unique flair to your build when these were part of your build, like choosing your birth month, essentially, or your birth sign.
Yeah.
It definitely gave you some unique qualities that you could attach, which I like. But at the same time, I would imagine if you are more into like a role play aspect other than just like a min-maxi play style like I have, I would imagine this gives a lot more variety to builds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In general.
Right. With Skyrim, you go up and you find like the those pillars, right? And
Exactly. You have the stones, and right, the stones. They have a variety of different, some, which again, from my min-maxi style, I always like to choose the ones that just let me level up skills faster so I can be more efficient at them. But then there's other ones like that are just useful. The steed, I believe, gives you more carry weight or whatever. It's like when they were put into the stone feature, they also allow you to choose different ones. So you're not bound to your choice in choosing your constellation,
right?
It's basically like a free respec, for lack of a better way of explaining it.
Yeah, and it's a trend that the series has been on in simplifying, but also giving players more freedom and keeping them from locking themselves out of things has been kind of the trend. We've talked about this a lot in recent episodes. This is one of the big things they did in Skyrim, that same idea of like, you can finish every quest line, you can be the top of every guild, you can do all the things, right? That's been kind of Bethesda's thing for a while now.
Yeah,
as opposed to how it was in older games where you could just totally lock yourself out of stuff
and yes and really make a build that didn't make any sense and you totally sucked.
I feel that, like that's part of the fun. Like this is, I hope I really 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 hope that the developers, as they are working on Elder Scrolls 6, are paying attention to the way more recent RPGs have been going back to those ideas and the fact that the player bases actually appreciate that. Like games like Elden Ring. I'm not saying, and people are going to jump on me, we don't want Elden Ring combat, and I don't want Elden Ring combat.
Well, no, I was going to say, I like Elden game. Ring just fine. I don't want Elden Ring combat either.
Right. I want more polished and more interesting Skyrim combat. That would be great. That's fine. But give me interesting little quest lines or storylines or guilds or whatever where I can just kind of cut myself out of other options. And that makes playing another playthrough even more interesting.
Yes. And I feel like with Starfield, that was almost like they took a half step in that direction, but didn't fully commit. And I think that was sort of recognized. We were like, you almost got there. It's okay to like go a little further to how the games used to be. Maybe not quite as extreme as some of the OGs, where it's just like, man, my build is just trash and I'm worthless.
Right.
Type of thing. But that's kind of a thing they've made, not obsolete, but it's fine to have it be a poor build, but you can basically counteract it by continuing to level. So like you get past a certain like hump, so to speak. Whereas if there's a hard level cap, which these games don't really do anymore, it was really just the first one that had that. You can have these, I don't know, we'll call them detriments and benefits from some of these constellations with your birth sign, but by leveling enough, even if it's like not what you intended, you can kind of get above the enemy level at a certain point. And I think that's an okay way of doing it, where it's like, okay, well, you can either have a smart build or you can outgrind the curve. And I kind of like those as both being an option.
Yeah. So I appreciate the flexibility, but I kind of like the idea of like, I am a character, this is who I am, and I'm going to commit to this character on some yeah. level without it being too rigid, but like some right. amount of like, no, this is who I am. This is,
and I,
this
I don't mind the streamlining where it's just like in Skyrim, you just have the governing constellations of where the skills are. And it's just like, that's it. I'm fine with the streamlining of that to a degree. And not having the like micromanaging of like, well, I got 5 levels in this, so I get 4 willpower and stuff like that. That mm. can be a bit overwhelming for people. I liked it and all, but I understand how that was streamlined out. There's probably a happy medium that they could hit a little better.
True, true. All right, so let's move on. We've got the next one coming up. This yep. is the lady. The lady. Ooh, the lady. I don't know what we're doing.
No idea.
Like, we've never seen a lady before. We're just like, ooh, it's a lady.
Yeah, we're married kids. No idea what a lady is.
We're both married to women.
Live in a basement.
No. Like, we've seen ladies before.
Nope.
All right. The lady is a constellation of 4 stars, which is in the night sky during Hearthfire. It is one of the warrior's charges. Those born under the sign of the lady are taught to be kind and tolerant. That feels very... very traditional.
Yo, some of these are really, really a product of the time.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really not much else to say about that one.
Sure. It's a very stereotypical medieval style, the lady.
The lady. All right. And then there's also the Lord. So let's move to the Lord. The Lord is a constellation of 19 stars, which is viable in the night sky during First Seed. It is one of the warrior's charges. Those born under the sign of the Lord are thought to be stronger and healthier, although they are sometimes referred to as trollkin due to their innate weakness to fire. Which
yeah.
is funny because, of course, trolls are vulnerable to fire.
Right.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. Lords are supposed to be stronger and healthier. But if we know anything from history, lords, royalty, were more likely to be inbred.
Uh-huh.
So they weren't necessarily always stronger and healthier, although they had probably better food and like...
Sure, but they also would probably use propaganda to talk about how strong they That's were, even true. If they could barely stand up under their own power.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that there is part of that as well. So. Yeah,
that would be my guess.
So there you go. Okay, that's the Lord. Let's move to the next.
But in
one.
This, it gives you actual strength, unless you're, you know, trying to cook something and light your sleeve on fire, then you're basically immediately killed.
Yes, right. Just, if you're a lord, don't do your own cooking. But it's a good thing you're a lord because you don't have to. That
high 95% mortality rate amongst them trying to cook their own food.
Oops, I dropped a hot dog. Oh no, I leaned over too close to the fire. Oh, yep.
Well, hold on. Immediately 1,000 points of damage.
Right, right. That's how. What's it called when somebody just goes up in flames real fast?
Oh, spontaneous
combustion. Yeah,
just yeah.
We found the source. All the spontaneously combusted people were born during the first seed.
Born under the sign of the Lord.
Under the sign of the Lord. If somebody's just tuning in right now, they're like, are they talking about Jesus?
No, not real.
Is this weird Jesus astrology?
I was going to say, not going on what we have in our real life. We're talking about constellations.
Constellations in Elder Scrolls. All right. So on to the next one, the Lover. Hmm. The Lover is a constellation of 12 stars, which is in the night sky during Sun's Dawn. It is one of the thief's charges. Those born under the sign of the Lover are thought to be graceful and passionate. Also, this one's under the thief. So right. Is there something sneaky about being the Lover? Like you're stealing somebody's heart?
Oh, okay. That's sure. That's yeah. Okay, we can go with that. That's fine. Sure. More so. This is going to be so stupid. I feel like there's a lot of. I don't know if these jokes are intentional by the game or whatever, but. If you choose the Lover Mundus in Elder Scrolls Online, which again, it's the stones so that you can change them around. That's instead of a birth sign, it's a stone you interact with.
Right.
I find it really funny that the Lover gives you a penetration bonus.
Yeah, that's. I feel like
I'm
that
sorry,
must
but
have
that,
been intentional.
That like writes itself. Like, what is happening?
Like we know some of the people at Zoss. Like we've met them at events and things.
It's
there
so
are certain
dumb.
People I've met that have been there a really long time. That I'm like, What is this their idea?
I know, I can't take that sign seriously.
So there you go. There you go. That's the lover.
Sorry for ruining that for everybody.
All right.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
On to the next one. All right, let's talk about the ritual. This one is an interesting name because it's called the ritual. It's not like a type of person or a title or something like that, right?
Right. Right.
The ritual known as the laboratory to the Dwemer, or laboratory if you're in the UK, is a constellation of seven stars, which is in the night sky during Morningstar. It is one of the mage's charges. Those born under the sign of the ritual are thought to have various abilities depending on the aspects of the moons and planets. It is consistently depicted by most cultures as taking the shape of the orbic eye. So that's what you can see up in the picture right there up in the corner.
If you're watching it, we've got these on screen.
Yeah, the ritual. This one's interesting because we're starting to get into things that aren't necessarily people's titles. And this one seems very vague.
Yeah, this is going to get a little more abstract as we keep going. I mean, it's a good mix of people / abstract.
Right, right. So another mage's charge. And I mean, orbic eye, that's interesting. You want to talk about the orbic eye?
Yeah, I mean, that just screams mages. I mean, the Mages Guild, and like, you've got so many connections to that orbic eye and, you know, the Mages Guild and just magicka / sorcery in general. That's kind of like a given if you're going to have that.
Yeah, it goes back to Arena. This is a symbol that showed up in Arena, and it looks kind of like, you know, like the Eye of Horus. Where you have like the eye. Yeah. I mean, you can see a version of it up on the screen right now. But in the older games, even more, you've got like kind of what looked like the eyelashes coming off of it.
And
it looks kind of different.
At first, I actually thought it was a cockroach on the billboard because they made like it was painted on. And then I was like, that's an eye. I'm an idiot.
It does. Here, let me see if I can. Can I get this up on the screen? Hold on.
The literal Mages Guild sign.
I can kind of squeeze it in there. There you go. It does kind of look like a cockroach.
Yeah, it looks it was walking down when I first looked at it.
Weird. Okay, that's funny. So there you go. But Eye of Magnus, like that Eye of Magnus gets mentioned a lot in the games. Like this is like, we won't get into all the details about that. But if you're familiar with it or go back to episodes where we've talked about it, you know what we're talking about. All right, let's move on to the next one. This one is the Shadow. We're going to skip over the Serpent alphabetically.
Yeah, we'll come back to the Serpent. Serpent's last because Serpent's weird.
Serpent's weird. The Shadow is a constellation of five stars, which is in the night sky during the second seed. It is one of the Thieves' charges. Those born under the sign of the Shadow are thought to have the ability to hide in shadows. Seems pretty on the nose.
Who would have thought?
I mean, this one tracks very definitely under Thief, right? Like, why else hide in the shadows unless you're doing something nefarious like thievery or murder?
Yeah, or a combination. Why stop at one?
Why not do both?
Why not?
Unless you're part of the Thieves Guild and then they're like, well, we don't really murder, we just steal things.
Yeah, why not both? It's because one of them is not allowed.
Not allowed. Yep. All right. Not much else about the Shadow. Yeah,
better sneaky. That's really
better sneaky. All right, the Steed is up next. The Steed is a constellation of eight stars, which is in the night sky during mid-year. It is one of the warrior's charges. Those born under the sign of the Steed are thought to be impatient and always hurrying from one place to another. It is typically depicted as a horse, which makes sense because the Steed is a horse.
Yeah, because it's a literal another name for a horse.
Right, right. Weird, huh? According to some of this, the Steed is prominent in the southern sky during the summer solstice. So it's one of those mid-year signs. And, you know, you move faster like a horse.
I was going to say, it's another one that's a little on the nose.
You know what's weird about these? It just occurred to me is, I mean, clearly the actual placement of the stars doesn't actually make an outline of a horse. It's just roughly in that pattern. And so, therefore, the cultures looked at them and then give them the names because they're like, oh, that reminds me of a horse shape.
Right.
Rather than like the Magna Gi leaving left in the shape of a horse.
Yeah, it's like one of those, which would be super weird. The kid's toy, Light Bright, they're just like the Magna Gear, like punching holes in the black paper for a light bright. And like, it's just like, all right, this one's a castle. And this,
right. They're like, we got to get out of here. We're getting, we're bailing on this. Making,
but we might
making,
as well leave a pretty design on the way out.
Yeah. We're going out in the shape of a horse. Let's do it.
Right.
Like what?
So, yeah. Mm. It's more just a couple random punches in the sky. And it's like, that's horse like.
That's horse shaped. This next one is tower shaped because it's kind of a straight line up with some other little doodads.
Yeah.
The tower is a constellation of 12 or 11 stars, which is in the night sky during frostfall. It is one of the thieves' charges. Those born under the sign of the tower are thought to have a knack for finding gold and opening locks. I suppose the justification here is that if you're a thief, you need somewhere to hide your treasure. And where better to hide your treasure than in a tower?
Maybe? Okay. I mean, I don't have a better alternative to that, so I'm going to just say I accept that because I really don't have another suggestion. Or maybe because we're looting towers, I guess maybe we're looting towers all the time. That's maybe implying it's like, well, since you're in there anyways and you have a boon of the tower, you might as well get more garbage out of the tower.
Sure. Okay. That works for me. That works for me. So those are the main ones and the sub ones. Another thing that I note here that I find interesting is that only the main ones are tied to a planet and thus an Aedra. These other ones are not tied to planets at all.
Right. They're just sub-constellations, and really that's just like, yep, here's just more options. It's almost like it was a feature that was designed at a top level and then it needed to kind of break down more to have like another set that related to things.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the serpent. The serpent's the weird one. So the serpent, known as the snake in the stars to the Reachmen, or simply the snake to both Reachmen and Redguards, is a constellation of 4 unstars. These are not stars. They are unstars. And we talked previously about how unstar sounds like a planet, but it's not a planet either. It moves across the sky kind of like a planet does. It emits light, but it doesn't emit varliance. And varliance is the word for, like, magicka doesn't come out of it.
Right.
So unstars are weird. Like, are they black holes? Are they planets that just don't work like other planets? We don't really know. But it's a constellation of 4 unstars, which is not relegated to being in the night sky during a particular time of year. Unlike stars, the unstars that form the serpent move about the sky and do not emit varliance. The serpent's motions are considered to be unpredictable, though they can be predicted to a degree. So sometimes predictable, sometimes unpredictable, which overall
moderately
makes them
predictable.
mostly unpredictable, but sometimes predictable. Sometimes it is deemed impossible, however. Those born under the sign of the serpent are thought to have no characteristics in common except being the most blessed and the most cursed. So what's going on? What's going
extremes.
On? Yeah, what's yeah. going on with the serpent? So it's unstars that form a pattern that just kind of wander around in no pattern at all. Like a planet, you can predict its pattern because it moves through the sky at a certain rate, right? And because like in our solar system, we're moving around the sun, other planets are moving around the sun, and so their position in the sky can be predicted, and sometimes certain planets look like they go backwards because we're eclipsing them in the movement, but right. all of that can be predicted. Like, there's math to figure that out. The serpent has no set pattern. It can be predicted sometimes, but not always. And
right, it's one of these weird things where it's such a weird concept, but it's like, the only predictable thing about it is that it is unpredictable.
Right.
Which is weird to think about. It's like, no, there's one defining feature of it that makes it predictable, is that it's completely not predictable.
Right.
It's just like a weird, almost like an oxymoron, but not quite.
Right. Another detail about this that seems to be true is that it's never in the same part of the sky as the sun at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is weird also, almost like it avoids the sun.
Right.
So sketchy and weird. And I don't know that there's too much else we can talk about with this. Is there anything else about this one particularly? I mean,
it's not even referred to all that much in the series either. It's there for sure, but it's just like, it's it's more of a thing that's talked about more than you interact with. I mean, I guess as much as you interact with any of the constellations, but it's a strange one for sure and doesn't fit the mold of any of the others.
Yeah. According to the Red Guard, it says that the Yakudans believe that souls born under the serpent are harder to guide through the necromancer's snare. The serpent itself respects no master and is unpredictable in its path. So, like, people born under this sign are also more unpredictable. The Dwemer had a kind of a V-shaped symbol. It was like a V with like a line for the serpent. And the Reachfolt count for the Snake of the Star is also known as the enemy and the corrupter to the enemy of the Reach Guardians. They believe that if permitted, Snake would consume all the lesser stars without hesitation. One of the Reachful glyphs depict the snake. Its connection to the snake in the stars is unknown. It seems like it is almost like Sithis's constellation.
Right.
Or something like that. Like, it is like the dark constellation that is, I don't know, like the spooky side of reality that I don't know. Yeah, it's something weird about it.
It is a very strange one, all around. It's just like, again, because it doesn't really fit the same way as the others, it's a little harder to put into a category the same way. Which is, it's weird. It just becomes its own little outlier, but it still fits into the whole constellation thing, so it can't be its own thing entirely.
Yeah, and somehow people can track it. They can see it, even though these unstars are deceptive. They still shine light, but they're different from the other stars. And yeah, there's something really weird with it. Now, there are some theories out there about what this actually is and how it interacts with reality and how it interacts with potentially Magnus. In fact, there's one theory out there that I found recently. It was posted to Reddit about a year ago, I think. And we're going to go over that in a future episode. But the theory is that maybe the serpent and Magnus might actually be the same thing, which, if you understand the way Magnus is usually represented as having left a big hole in the sky, then you're like, okay, well, how does that even make sense? But they've got some interesting details there. So we're going to get into that in a future.
That'll be a fun episode that we'll get into. Yeah. But that's a little more outside the realm of us just talking about the constellations and subconstellations themselves.
Right, right. So it's a much bigger topic. There's a lot of interesting points there. Chances are, a lot of speculation. Chances are it's not 100% accurate. But they make a good argument. So it's worth at least considering the argument. So we'll get to that in a future episode. But other than that, we've got, I think that's most of it. Let's talk about the constellations. So there's this little other section here down at the end of the UESP page. Several constellations resemble various skills and are associated with three guardian constellations. So let's talk about that. The mage is associated with alteration, conjuration, destruction, enchanting, illusion, and restoration, which makes sense, right? Like, this is where they group all of that stuff together in the game.
Sure.
The thief, alchemy, light armor, light lockpicking, pickpocket, sneak, and speech. And the warrior, archery, block, heavy armor, one-handed, smithing, and two-handed. So this is very Skyrim-esque, right?
Yes. And when you think about it, kind of to you mentioning it right at the start, it's, you're going to be using these. Now, there's some overlap, for sure, with some of the things. But it's usually also related to where they're placed, too, which is kind of interesting. But, like, if you're going to be a mage, it makes sense that you're going to be probably enchanting things.
Yeah, and using those kinds of spells. Right.
You're going to be using these types of, exactly, right. Spell type stuff like that. If you're a warrior, okay, you're probably going to need, some type of weapon, possibly blocking, stuff like that. But then you have those weird in-between where it's like archery. Well, technically, it's a martial skill.
Right, but yeah, I use it more as a thief than I do a warrior.
As a thief, but right. It's like right on the cusp, so it's right. Like some of them get a little interesting, and like I could also see alchemy, oftentimes you're going to see related to, okay, well that's like seems like a scholarly pursuit that would be in a major thing, but
it's under the
if
thief.
You're poisoning your blades,
yeah,
so that you can kill people off really quick. Well, now you've kind of dipped over into, well, is that actually, you know, a thief-based one? So there's a little bit of overlap. With some of them are a little more cut and dry. Some of them are like right on the cusp of in between, which is interesting.
Yeah. So now there are two other potential constellations that are not recognized by most of the main cultures. There is the constellation that looks kind of like a bat or kind of like a vampire lord, and this is connected to vampirism. And then there is a werewolf constellation associated with the blood moon, which resembles a werewolf.
Right.
And this is also weird because you've got these two other like weird connections to constellations in the sky, which as with any set of stars, like we discussed before, you can look at them and draw lines between them and be like, oh, that looks like this thing, right? Anybody can make connections to dots and be like, oh, that looks like a smiley face. There's a smiley face constellation, right? So not everyone's going to agree that that is that constellation in the sky. But it seems like these may actually have some effect when it comes to werewolves and vampires. So,
right. And basically, these seem a little more connected to the expansion in Skyrim specifically.
It's Dawnguard. Really, it's Dawnguard stuff.
It's
but Dawnguard. They have their own constellation there.
Right. So it's just kind of neat that they tied this in. It's like, well, theoretically, if you are a vampire or a werewolf, they needed a way because the skill tree in those in Skyrim is you going up these constellations. Well, if you were going to get any skills out of being a werewolf or a vampire, they needed some way that you could actually get these skills. So it was kind of neat that it was like, well, there's these other two potential ones that you can interact with, and you only interact with them when you're a corresponding werewolf or a vampire.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with this in future series, you know, games. Like, will these come back? Will these be seen as actual other constellations? Will they maybe draw connections between these and the serpent? You know, like as they flesh right. out the lore more, maybe there is more going on here that they've kind of built in, but they haven't really revealed anything about
it. Right, we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, could be a thing. So there you go. Constellations, birth signs, and how all of that stuff works. There are a bunch of other astral bodies as well. So we'll be going into more of that stuff in the future, along with that really weird theory that we found recently, because we don't point out every weird theory, but sometimes it's fun to go like,
certainly not
go back to the weird and wacky episodes we did. Oh, was that a few summers ago?
There's some
weird and wacky stuff out there. There's some weird theories, and sometimes they make good arguments, you know, like a lot of this stuff is kind of up in the air because it's just, you know, vague enough that if you put a good theory together, maybe it'll actually make sense. So we'll cover that stuff in a future episode, but that's it for the constellations. Lotus, do you have anything else going on you want to share?
Not really, actually. Hopefully we'll be able to get an episode of Tales, or we've got two kind of in the works, which is weird because we haven't been able to release one. We've got two kind of currently in the works. But as I talked to you before the show, my daughter actually got a cold, which upon starting daycare has made my time even shorter than it was. So scheduling has been a little tricky as is, but we're going to be hopefully doing our recap of ASO news, what with the PTS going on. And then obviously we're working on our year in review, I guess, the chapter review. We haven't finished that whole organization thing. So new episodes on the way. They're just a little slower than we had intended. Other than that, that's pretty much it for me as of late.
Cool. Yeah, I've got my other shows as well, but we also have to thank our patrons. So if you're interested in my other shows, robotsradio.net for my shows and a bunch of other shows on the network. I do the Fall Lorecast and the Lord of the Rings Lorecast also. And we have to thank our new patrons, Grim Dark Angel, Karastalsis, I hope I pronounced that correctly, and Alex B, thank you. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you decided to appreciate join it. Us. We do appreciate it. You are the people who keep this going, so thanks for that. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes who get shout outs every week. Blinding Vision, Hairscene, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much. And thank you to all 135 of our current active patrons. And you can also sign up as a free patron to make sure that you get notifications. And sometimes I post questions and I just kind of poll the audience and find stuff that we want to know in order to talk about in future episodes, or just let you know, hey, we're taking a week off, that sort of thing. Also, Lotus, we have some keys to give out for stuff
we do
that we haven't done anything with. I'm thinking maybe we do some sort of like Patreon. Like, anybody who signed up on Patreon, including free patrons, can get a chance in order to get one of these, like kind of a random grab bag sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they're keys for ESO for a variety of different things.
Yep. So. Yeah, as part of the not the stream team, what do they call it now? Content creator team. We were given a whole bunch of codes for various things in Elder Scrolls Online. So as a result, obviously, we got them so that we can give them away to everybody. And that's where all of you come in. So we're going to be working on that. Stay tuned. We're going to try to come up with some fun ways that people can win in-game Elder Scrolls stuff. Or if you're looking to try the game, we've got codes for the game itself. So you can try it for free.
Yeah. So thanks to Zoss for those. And yeah, we'll give you more details on that. I think we're still playing around with ideas. But I think if what we'll do for now is if you are signed up on the Patreon, even as a free patron, then you will definitely get notifications about what we're doing. And you'll be the first to know. So make sure you're on there. And hopefully, you know, Lotus and I have been busy with other stuff. But we'll figure something out probably within the next week.
Well, ironically, since I've got both shows, I figured I would distribute mine between the two, whereas you've got this one for this show and Ark has his for Tales. So it's like basically we have a person and a half worth for both shows worth of giveaways from Zoss that we're going to be able to share with everybody soon.
There you go. So lots of cool stuff. And also, if you want to help the show in other ways, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This show is growing its YouTube audience as well. Primarily, we've always been an audio show, so most of our listeners are on Spotify and Apple, and usually we'll read out a new review on Apple. We don't have a new one this week, but leave a 5-star review on Apple, read it out, rate us on Spotify, thumbs up the video, comment below, let us know you're here. And if you are new to the show, there are like a ton of episodes. We've got over 300 episodes of the show already. It's just slowly growing on YouTube, whereas we've been pretty well known in the audio space for a while now. So lots of stuff to check out. So glad that you're here. Thanks for being here, everybody. All right. That's it for this episode. We'll see you next time. And until then, look up in the night sky. Maybe you'll see a vampire. Oh, wait.
I just realized we need to have a constellation of a random page.
Random page. I had it prepared and everything. All right.
That was what we looked up and saw in the night sky. The random page.
We saw the random page. All right. So here, random page. I'm going to make this bigger. Random page. There we go. On the screen. It's pets that start with N. So there you go. Necrom, Ghost Gazer Cat. Necrotic Horvor. Nectar Thief Nixad. I feel like I'm reading Dr. Seuss' book.
That cat is freaking me out.
The cat?
Yeah, the first gazer? One. The necrotic cat. Oh, the wolf pup's cute.
Yeah. All right, so let's go. Nana...
Start with Nalachia,
Alien Wolf Pup. New Moon Bear Cub.
That is such a random page.
This is a random page. New Moon Guar Calf. That guy's cute. New Moon Pony. Oh, sorry, I'm picking, things are showing up as I mouse over them. New Moon Cinch Cub. New Moon Wolf Pup.
Oh my God. Nivine so
Mud Crab. There's so many. Nivinese Pony. Niven River Fell Runner.
No thoughts between those eyes on the cat that was freaking me out.
Nightcrest Fell Runner. Nightfall Saber Cat Cub. Nightflame Larval Yagra.
This is literally the pinnacle of a random page right now.
I've got to read them all. Nightmare Bear Cub. Nightmare Firestalker Cub. Nightmare Sench Cub. All these nightmare things. Nightmare Wolf Pup.
I was so many nightmares.
I've got a few of those. Night Rose Veil Fawn. Ninindava Sacred Goat.
Ooh. What?
Noble Riverhold Sench Lion Cub. Northern Lynx.
A lot of N-based.
Yeah, who knew there were this many? Oh, this is the last one. Nowhere Pony. There you go. That's it. There you go.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that.
Those are all the N-pets for ESO. Congratulations. All right. Thanks for being here, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a wonderful week.
Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.